It's definitely good to be back to familiar territory. 上个星期用华语分享真的是讲了 each day still. So it's good to be back to my natural language today to share with you. And it's always good to gather as a church family. Amen? Amen? And in fact, yesterday was really a very interesting time where many of us were gathered together for Strike for Good. It was really good for the church to gather together in a very different setting. How many of us was at Strike for Good yesterday? Many of us. It was so good to really just catch up. But you know, there was one problem, you know. I tell you, our church members were too friendly. Why? You know, yesterday when in the running back, the final stretch, right, I was already struggling for breath. Everybody say hi to me, right? So I got no choice, keep having to wave, although I was trying to catch my breath, you know. And worse still, some of us was trying to take photo of me running, you know. Then I had to pretend to run, still run, I look okay, isn't it? But it was really great to get it together, you know, in a very, very different setting. And we really want to trust God that when we walk those steps and ran those steps, it is not just raising funds, you know, for the BK, but also we want to believe that as we walk this step, we carry the blessings of God to these places. Amen? Right, why don't we turn to the Lord in a word of prayer before we begin this morning. Father God, we want to thank you for the privilege of being able to gather as a church family to worship you. We thank you for the reminder this morning, Father, of the great sacrifice that Lord Jesus, you made for us, Lord. When you went to the cross, hung there and gave your life. But today, we are also reminded, God, that God, you did not remain in that grave dead, but you rose again. And because of that, God, we have hope. We have hope anchored in a God who is living, our living Savior. Lord, even right now as we turn to your word, Lord, we ask for your Holy Spirit to come and prepare our hearts and our spirit man to receive the word that, Lord, you have installed for us today. Lord, we ask that, Lord, you will speak and let all your children listen and respond. Lord, we pray all this in the Lord's most precious name and let all God's people say, Amen. You know, last week, my daughter was watching an old movie titled Hachiko. You know, many of us might have watched the movie or at least have heard about the story of Hachi, the Japanese dog. You know, Hachi was a dog of the Akita breed owned by a Japanese professor, Professor Yono. You know, from a young age, Hachi would see his owner off to work in the morning at the Shibuya train station in central Tokyo. Any many of us have been there before. And, you know, the dog will go there every morning and then in the afternoon to go to meet him, the professor, at the station in the afternoon when he returned to work or returned from work. Then, but on May 21st, 1925, the two-year-old Hachi was, as usual, sitting by the exit at Shibuya train station waiting for his dear best friend, Professor Yono. But the owner never showed up. It turned out that Professor Yono had suffered from cerebral hemorrhage and died suddenly and unexpectedly at work. Hachi moved in with the former gardener of the Yono family, Kobayashi, but throughout the rest of his 10-year-long life, he kept going back to the Shibuya train station every afternoon, precisely when the train was due to enter the station. He sat there for hours, waiting patiently in vain for the return of his beloved owner, who of course never came back. He continued this way for an incredible 9 years, in fact almost 10 years, until the dog actually died in 1935. You know, what an incredible picture of devotion and loyalty. You know, today I want to speak to you about the value of devotion. You know, we can be devoted to many people and many things. We can be devoted to our spouses, you better be, and our family. We can be devoted to our work and our pursuits in life. But specifically today, I want to talk to you about devotion to the Lord. This is such an important value that we need to develop in our Christian faith, devotion to our God, to our Lord. What is devotion? The dictionary defines devotion as love, as loyalty, or enthusiasm for a person, activity, or a cause. You can be devoted to someone. You can be devoted to an activity, like if you enjoy soccer and cycling, you can be very devoted to that. You know, you can be devoted to a cause. You believe in doing good and in contributing to charity. You can be very devoted in spending your time, devoting your time and effort to that. So when we talk about devotion to the Lord, we're talking about being loyal to the Lord and being enthusiastic about Him and the things that are important to God. It's about committing ourselves to love the Lord. So this is about, this is what I mean when we talk about the devotion to our Lord that we need to develop as a value always. We can be believers of Jesus Christ, but are we devoted disciples? I repeat that again, all right? We can be believers of Jesus Christ, but are we devoted disciples? Are we loyal and enthusiastic for the Lord? You know, today I hope that you will join me in evaluating how devoted we are to our God. This is a tough exercise, but I urge you to be honest with yourself in this evaluation today as we study this topic of devotion to the Lord. I just invite you to turn your Bible to Matthew 28, verse 1 to 10. The verses are going to be on the screen. It's a very familiar passage about resurrection morning. But today, we're going to look at this passage in a very different angle and to study the value of devotion. I will share a bit more later. But Matthew 28, verse 1, I'm reading from the NIV. It says, after the Sabbath, at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and, going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the women, do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly to tell his disciples, he has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you. So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid, yet filled with joy, and ran to his disciples. Suddenly, Jesus met them. Greetings, he said. They came to him, clasped his feet, and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me. Now, this is a very important account of our faith. It is an account of the resurrection of Jesus and the declaration of the Great Commission by Jesus, if you look at the verses that ensued. Without the resurrection of Christ, there is no basis for our faith, as Jesus would then be a liar because he said that he would die for our sins and he would rise again. The passage then captured the mission of each disciple of Christ to make disciples of all nations, and that is our Great Commission. So how is this passage relevant to the value of devotion? We're going to look at this passage from a different angle and look into the value of devotion as a disciple of the Lord. And from the passage, I want to share with you today three key thoughts on devotion to our Lord. Firstly, we're going to look at verse 1 to 2 and study the examples of devotion. We want to look at some of the examples of devotion. Specifically, we're going to study the character of Mary Magdalene this morning. Let's look at the examples of devotion. Then we will look at verse 3 to 10 to look at what I call the seven blessings of our devotion in the Lord. You know, when we are devoted to the Lord, some blessings will follow us. I want to share with you from the passage some of these blessings of being devoted to the Lord. And finally, I will share a very short point of on the ultimate example of devotion, bringing us back to the more ultimate example of devotion, who is Jesus himself. But let's look at the examples of devotion. Verse 1 to 2. The passage started with the mention of two women in verse 1, the two Marys. It says, after the Sabbath, in verse 1, at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. Who are these Marys? Bible historians have concluded that the two Marys in the passage were Mary Magdalene, and it was mentioned very clearly, it was Mary Magdalene, and Mary, the mother of James. In the Bible, there were a few Marys who were mentioned. You know, sometimes we can get so confused about which Mary each passage was referring to. You know, there is Mary Magdalene, Mary, the mother of Jesus, Mary, the sister of Martha and Lazarus, and then, you know, Mary, the mother of James, whom we just read about. But today, I want to refer to two of these four Marys, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the sister of Martha and Lazarus, because they are great examples of devotion to the Lord. And we can look at these characters to see, you know, what we can learn about devotion to the Lord and what actually, you know, is a picture of that devotion to the Lord. Let's look at Mary Magdalene. Right? Usually the accounts in the Bible involving Mary Magdalene are clear because they will refer to her as Mary Magdalene. And Mary Magdalene was a great and wonderful example of devotion, and we will pay some attention to this character today. You know, one of the first mention of Mary Magdalene was in Luke chapter 8, verse 1 to 3. Luke 8, 1 to 3, it says, "After this, Jesus traveled about from one town and village to another, proclaiming the good news to the king of the kingdom of God. The 12 were with him, and also some women who had been cured of evil spirits and diseases. Mary, called Magdalene, from whom seven demons have come out. Joanna, wife of Chuza, the manager of Herod's household. Susanna, and many others. These women were helping to support them out of their own means." You see, from these verses, we can pick up a few things about Mary Magdalene. Firstly, Mary is from Magdala, and that was why she was referred to as Mary Magdalene. Secondly, the verses tell us that Mary was delivered of seven demons by Jesus. And thirdly, she, Mary Magdalene, and several other women were providing financial and physical support to the earthly ministry of Jesus. Mary Magdalene was someone who had benefited from the ministry of Jesus, and perhaps out of that grateful heart, served the earthly ministry of Jesus out of her own will and means. What else do we also know about Mary Magdalene? In Matthew 27, verse 55 to 56, I read to you, it says, "Many women were there." This is the account of Jesus journeying to the cross, right, to Golgotha. He said, "Many women were there, watching from a distance. They had followed Jesus from Galilee to care for his needs. Among them were Mary Magdalene, Mary, the mother of James and Joseph, and the mother of Zebedee's sons." John chapter 19, verse 25, when Jesus was hung there on the cross, he says, "Near the cross of Jesus stood his mother, his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene." See, Mary Magdalene continued to care for the needs of Jesus even when he was falsely accused and sentenced to be crucified. In John 19, she continued to stand near the cross where Jesus was hung. She did not chicken out when the opposition came and arose. In Matthew 27, verse 61, it says, "Mary Magdalene and the other Mary was sitting there opposite the tomb, and then they witnessed the resurrection of Christ." If you follow the verses that we have looked at, we see a woman who was delivered of seven demons by Jesus. And filled with gratitude, she continued to stand by Jesus, even to his death and burial. In our key passage today, even after Jesus died, she was the first one to be present at the tomb after Sabbath. You know, there is no better way to describe Mary Magdalene than that she is an example of devotion to Jesus. There was love for the Lord. There was loyalty in life and even in death of Jesus on earth. You know, some people argued that Mary Magdalene was devoted to Jesus only because, you know, she had benefited from the ministry of Jesus, and that she would probably have witnessed all the signs and wonders that Jesus performed. But how about the others who had similar encounters with Jesus? Were they as devoted as Mary Magdalene? How did the rest who were deeply involved in the ministry of Jesus and benefited from his miracles, how did they respond? Apostle Peter denied Jesus when Jesus was crucified. The other disciples were not late in going to Jesus' tomb on resurrection morning. They were not even present. You see, these are the ones who have witnessed the goodness and the miracles of Jesus in his earthly ministry. But do you see the same picture of devotion as what Mary Magdalene did? Mary Magdalene was an example of devotion, staying with Jesus in good times and in bad times, in signs and wonders and in trials, in death and in resurrection. You know, there were several Marys mentioned in the New Testament as well, as I mentioned just now. We cannot cover each one of them, but one common question is whether Mary Magdalene is the same Mary whose sibling were Lazarus and Martha. You know about the other Mary who we read about, Mary and Martha, the Mary that chose to sit at Jesus' feet, and the same Mary and Martha whose brother is Lazarus, whom Jesus raised back from the dead. Is Mary Magdalene and this Mary the same Mary? Bible historians have different views. The common claim is that there are actually two different Marys and refer to the other Mary, Mary the sister of Martha and Lazarus, as the Mary of Bethany. You know, Mary from Bethany was another example of devotion to Jesus. We will look at this character in a short while, but let me state my position on this matter, whether they are the same Mary. You know, my position is that we cannot be totally certain if Mary Magdalene is the same person as Mary from Bethany. In fact, you go to the internet, you search this topic, there are so many Bible historians who are arguing their case. Some argue that they are the same Mary, some argue that they are different Marys. You see, but my position is this, if they are the same Mary, then we are learning the value of devotion from the same Mary. But if they are different Marys, we are still learning the value of devotion from two different Marys. So hence, it is less important to argue if they are the same Mary, but more important to learn lessons on devotion from her or from them. So with that stated, let us look at Mary from Bethany. Why do I say that she also is an example and a picture of devotion? See, this Mary hails from Bethany and was the sister of Martha and Lazarus. One of the most well-known accounts of Mary from Bethany was with Jesus, when she was with Jesus in Luke chapter 10, verse 38 to 42. When Mary chose to sit at the feet of Jesus to learn from him instead of joining her sister Martha in preparing food for Jesus. Jesus then praised Mary to have chosen the better part. So that was Mary from Bethany. Mary of Bethany also experienced the miracle of Jesus when Jesus raised his brother Lazarus from the dead in John chapter 11. See, one of the final recorded acts of Mary of Bethany was that she washed Jesus' feet and wiped them with her hair before anointing Jesus' feet with expensive perfume. And this was just days before the crucifixion of Christ. You see, this sitting at Jesus' feet, anointing of Jesus with perfume, form another picture of devotion to Jesus. So both Mary Magdalene and Mary from Bethany were devoted to the Lord. Now that we have two vivid examples of devotion and we have a picture of what it means to be devoted to the Lord, let us go back to our key text today and look at what happens when we are devoted to the Lord. See, when we are devoted to the Lord, we enjoy the blessings of devotion. And from verse 3 to 10 of our main passage today, I want to point out seven blessings of our devotion to the Lord. Seven blessings that we can experience when we are devoted to the Lord. But before I go to the seven blessings, you all look very serious today. I don't know why. Turn to your neighbor and say, don't be so serious. Come on. You're still so serious in telling your neighbor not to be serious. Okay, are you with me? Are you ready to journey with me to check out the seven blessings of devotion to the Lord? Let us begin. Let me first begin, before I go into even the first one, to state something very clearly. We do not devote ourselves to the Lord only because we want the blessings of God. It is not a transactional relationship. It is not a case whereby we are loyal to the Lord and then we expect to be rewarded. But certain blessings come with our devotion to the Lord. And the first blessing that we can experience when we are devoted to the Lord is found in verse 2 to 4, is that we can witness the power of God. When we are devoted to the Lord, we can witness the power of God. He says in verse 2, there was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were afraid of him and they shook and became like dead men. See, Mary was devoted to Jesus in death and in life. She did not give up on Jesus' promise that he will rise again. And she chose to visit the tomb of Jesus at the earliest opportunity, believing that her God's word were real. And what happened as a result of that devotion? She witnessed the power of God. She witnessed the power of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. In verse 2 to 4, the two Marys witnessed the earthquake. They witnessed the rolling back of the stone by the angels. They witnessed the presence of the angel. They witnessed the empty tomb. They witnessed the resurrected Christ. They witnessed the power of God. You see, I'm not saying that we devote ourselves to God only to see the power of God. I'm also not saying that each time that we devote ourselves to God, we will witness the power of the Lord. But only when we get near enough to God that we might get the chance to witness His power. Again, I'm going to try to say, when we devote ourselves to the Lord, we get near to the presence of the Lord. And when we get near to the presence of the Lord, then we are in a position to witness the power of the Lord. You know, for example, many of us or some of us go for whale watching tours, or at least done that sometime in your life. Does that mean each time that you go on that tour, we will definitely see a whale? Definitely not. Even the tour organizers will always have the disclaimer that they will usually encounter the whale, but if you are the sway one or you are the unlucky one, what they will say, it is not guaranteed, you will not see it, right? But you see, if you do not even go on a whale-watching tour, you will definitely not witness the majesty of the whale beside your boat, isn't it? So what I'm trying to say is that, you know, when we devote ourselves to the Lord, we then get near to the presence of the Lord. And when we get near to the presence of the Lord, He gives us the opportunity to then witness the power of God when He comes. So when we devote ourselves to the Lord, we place ourselves in a better position to witness power of God. We will then better recognize the hand of the Lord. When we devote ourselves to the Lord, we place ourselves in proximity to the presence of God. We will then be positioned to witness the power of the Lord. And that was what Mary Magdalene did. She was well placed to witness the power of the Lord, although she did not go to the tomb just to see the power of the Lord. But instead, she was there because of a devotion to the Lord, but in that devotion, she then witnessed the power of the Lord. Mary's example was not an isolated one. Mary from Bethany and Martha were devoted followers of Jesus, and we just talked about that. And because of that, they were in a front seat position to witness the raising of Lazarus, the brother, from the dead. Jesus' disciples were devoted to following Jesus in his earthly ministry. They were then in a position to witness the great miracles of Jesus, including the feeding of the 5,000 in Matthew 14 and many other miracles. You see, when we are devoted to the Lord, it places us in a position to witness the power of the Lord. Number two, blessing number two, verse 5 to 7. When we are devoted to the Lord, we can witness the fulfillment of God's promises. When we are devoted to the Lord, we can witness the fulfillment of God's promises. See, Jesus prophesied that he will be crucified and resurrected 3 days later, several times. One of the occasions was recorded in Luke chapter 16, verse 21, when Jesus said, you know, actually in those verses, he said, from that time on, Jesus began to explain to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things at the hands of the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law, and that he must be killed and on the third day be raised to life. And when Mary Magdalene visited the tomb, what did she see? She saw Jesus who was crucified. The angels say, he is not here. He has risen. They met Jesus. Mary Magdalene witnessed the fulfillment of Jesus' promise because her devotion brought her to the tomb. She did not just witness the fulfillment of a promise, but the most important promise of our faith. In contrast, Jesus' 11 disciples, they have heard their prophecy, but they did not go to the tomb, and they missed out on being the first people to witness the fulfillment of Jesus' promise. Of course, the disciples were also devoted to the Lord, and hence they too met Jesus later in Galilee. They also witnessed the fulfillment of Jesus' promise to rise again, but they missed out on being the first people to see Jesus rising from the dead. Hence, one of the greatest blessings of our devotion to the Lord is the opportunity to witness the fulfillment of God's promises in our lives. And even when it seems as if the promises of God is yet to be fulfilled in your lives, let us continue to devote ourselves like what Mary did. Because in time to come, we will see the promises of God come true when we are devoted to God. Again, was Mary Magdalene's example an isolated one? In the Old Testament, Caleb was also praised by God to be of a different spirit and had followed God wholeheartedly. Numbers 14, verse 24, it says, "Because my servant Caleb has a different spirit and follows me wholeheartedly, I will bring him into the land he went to, and his descendants will inherit it." You see, following God wholeheartedly is being devoted to God. And what happened? What happened when Caleb followed God wholeheartedly? He was one of those who had the privilege to enter the promised land and witness the fulfillment of God's promise to the Israelites. So our devotion to God places us in a position to witness the fulfillment of God's promises. Still following me? Blessing number three, we can encounter the presence of God. When we are devoted to God, we can encounter the presence of God. Let's look at verse 8 to 9. Mary Magdalene devoted time and effort to the Lord by going to his grave at dawn on the first day of the week after Sabbath. She had basically appeared at the tomb at the earliest possible opportunity after Sabbath. As a result of that, Mary encountered the angel in verse 8. Then in verse 9, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary then encountered Jesus, who greeted them. See, when we devote our time and effort to the Lord, we position ourselves to encounter His presence. Mary Magdalene did not just encounter the angel, she encountered the presence of the Lord Himself. And what a privilege that was. Again, Mary's example at the tomb was not an isolated one. In Acts chapter 2, the early disciples devoted themselves to prayer, the breaking of bread, and fellowship. And what happened when they were all gathered together in the upper room that day? They encountered the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. They witnessed the signs and wonders that followed. We basically encountered the presence of God. See, when we devote our time and effort to meet God, we can then encounter His presence. But if we are too busy for the Lord, how are we to encounter the presence of the Lord? The truth is that sometimes we do not appreciate this blessing enough. We all know it's a great blessing. When we devote ourselves to God, we encounter the presence of God. But sometimes we do not appreciate this blessing enough. Through the grace of the Lord on the cross, we can come directly before the Lord. But we can take this for granted. That is why sometimes we feel that it is no big deal to encounter God's presence. I know it is a very hard thing to acknowledge, but how precious is the presence of God in your life? How precious is encountering God in your day-to-day life? How precious is that to you? Let us be careful not to take the presence of God for granted. It is a special privilege that we should always long for. And to assess this privilege, let us devote ourselves, our time, our effort to the Lord. Let us have the desire and yearning for the presence of God that will drive us to devote time and effort to Him. Psalms 27, verse 4, the psalm by King David, you know, reflects that yearning, that precious value that King David gave to the presence of God. He says, "One thing I ask from the Lord, this only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze on the beauty of the Lord and seek Him in His temple." King David wrote this psalm and he understood how precious the presence of God was. That was why he was devoted to the Lord. In fact, after his sin with Bathsheba, one of the first cries was in Psalms 51 when he asked God not to cast him away from God's presence. That is the value King David put to God's presence. We must also appreciate this precious privilege of God's presence and seek it. You know, in my years of church ministry, I had people ask me why they could not hear the voice of God or encounter Him. And one of the things that I often ask them is whether they spend enough time with God. If we do not even spend time listening to God, how are we to hear Him? If we do not devote time to meet with God, how can we meet Him? Mary encountered Jesus because she was devoted enough to go to the tomb. In contrast, Jesus' other disciples were not the first to meet Him because they did not make time to go to the tomb. Devote ourselves to the Lord if you want to encounter God's presence. Number four. Blessing number four. When we devote ourselves to the Lord, we can receive the assurance and comfort of the Lord. Verse 5, verse 8, and verse 10. Let me elaborate. In verse 5, we were told that the women were afraid when they saw the angel. In verse 8, we were again told that the women were afraid, yet filled with joy. They were afraid, but yet filled with joy. They were in awe what they saw, but they were afraid. So what did Jesus do when He met the women? The first thing that Jesus said to them was not to be afraid. The first thing that Jesus sought to do when He met the women was to assure them and to comfort them in their fear. Earlier, I cited Mary of Bethany as another example of devotion to Jesus. And what happened when her brother Lazarus died? She was broken. What happened when Jesus came to her and Martha 4 days after Lazarus died? In John 11, Jesus identified with their grief and Jesus wept. Jesus had great love for Lazarus and his sisters. It was stated in the scriptures. Jesus then assured them of His power to bring Lazarus back to life. And He did. When we are devoted to the Lord and know the Lord's heart for us, we receive His assurance and comfort in times of need. You know, in times of need, in our devotion and choosing to come into the presence of God, we will then receive the assurance and comfort of the Lord. And when we do that, God's love will enfold us. Number five, when we devote ourselves to the Lord, we can then enjoy the blessing of intimate worship. We enjoy the blessing of intimate worship. You see, in verse 9, we saw that Mary had the opportunity. What did he say? When he encountered, saw Jesus, you see, she clasped the feet of Jesus and worshipped Him. She actually clasped the feet of Jesus and worshipped Him. It was a picture of devotion. It's a picture of intimate, personal worship of the Lord at His feet. You know, in LSBC, we have a wonderful worship team that brings us into the presence of God each week. We should really appreciate them. You know, they put in the hard work each week to rehearse, to prepare themselves, to lead us into God's presence. And next week, we're going to have worship week, right? So, you know, worship week, not just for us to come and enjoy. And next week, you know, come and appreciate our worship team members, all right? But, I want to say that corporate worship does not replace deep, intimate, personal worship. Even in corporate worship, we can experience intimate, personal worship where you are standing. In the midst of hundreds of people here, you can have the intimate worship with the Lord. If you know the heart of the Lord, you will have that intimate relationship with the Lord. And this intimate relationship with the Lord comes from our personal devotion to the Lord. So when we are devoted to God, it brings us to that intimate relationship with our God. And in that intimate relationship with our God, we learn then to worship the Lord in the intimacy. We can experience this intimacy with God when we learn to grow in our devotion to Him and know Him more. Mary Magdalene worshipped the Lord in such a personal and intimate way because she knew that she was with her Lord and God. She knew that she could come before Jesus boldly and clasp His feet in worship because she knew Jesus. Our devotion to the Lord will bring us to this place of intimacy with God. And in this intimacy, we should worship God. So King David was another example of devotion to the Lord. And he was honored by God as a man after God's own heart. David was also an example of someone who worships God deeply and intimately. This deep and intimate worship of God arose from his devotion to God. See, when we are devoted to God, we are in an intimate relationship with God. And in that intimate relationship with God, we can then worship God intimately. Are you still with me? Can we press on? Two more to go. Turn to your neighbor, say, stay awake. Come on. Blessing number six. It's taken from verse 10. You know, when we devote ourselves to God, we can receive the privilege of serving God. Receive the privilege of serving God when we devote ourselves to God. In verse 10, after encountering Jesus, Mary Magdalene was given the task to inform the disciples to meet him in Galilee. Of course, this is not the only occasion that Mary Magdalene served the Lord, in case you think that, oh, even just because Mary was asked to inform the disciples, you stretch it and say that, you know, when we come and devote ourselves to God, you know, we can serve God. But that is not the only occasion where Mary Magdalene served the Lord. In Luke chapter 8, verse 1 to 3 that we read earlier, we knew that Mary and several women continued to support Jesus and his disciples in their ministry, even out of their own means. Mary Magdalene was devoted to the Lord and she was devoted to serving God. Mary served Jesus throughout his ministry on earth, and she was again given the opportunity to share the news of Jesus' resurrection with the disciples. You see, serving God is a tremendous privilege given to us. Especially when we devote ourselves to God, it's a privilege that can be given to us. But again, do you know sometimes we underappreciate this privilege of serving God? In fact, sometimes we behave as if we are doing God a favor to serve Him. We need to realize that God does not need us for anything but yet chosen us to be involved in His work. You know, I was reading Pastor Chiu-Ying Chi's book recently, and he said in his book, you know, that the title servant is the most honorable title that God could give to anyone. You know, God called many of his generals in the faith his servants. He called Moses my servant. He called David my servant. Noah was called God's servant. And the title that will be given to us when we run our race well, what is that? Good and faithful servants. Do we appreciate the privilege of serving our King? It's a privilege, but do we appreciate that enough? You know, when I was young, I enjoyed reading biographies of the heroes of our Christian faith. And one of the biographies that always inspired me then was that of David Livingstone. And David Livingstone was a missionary, a Scottish missionary born in 1813. You know, he was from the working class origins, but Livingstone studied theology and medicine in Glasgow before being ordained as a Christian minister. He then answered God's call for him to be a missionary in Africa, when Africa was still largely unreached by missionaries. He was also driven by his passion, you know, to abolish the slave trade then. The conditions in Africa were harsh then. Livingstone was struck with malaria and several other serious illnesses several times throughout his ministry in Africa. But he remained there. And there was another occasion whereby he was attacked by a lion and his left arm was crushed. And as a medical doctor without any proper medical facilities in the parts of Africa he was in then, he tended to his own crushed arm and remained in Africa. He lived with that disability throughout his ministry in Africa. And Livingstone finally died of illness in Africa. You know, his work in Africa was so significant in bringing the gospel to Africa. He impacted the African communities so much that they requested while his body would be repatriated to England, that his heart be buried in Africa. They said that this was because, you know, while his body would be back to Scotland, or England actually, his heart remained with Africa. You know, what a testimony of devotion. What a testimony of a man's devotion impacting a community and a country, a continent actually, greatly. Until this day, Livingstone's heart is still buried under a tree in Chitambu in Zambia. See, Livingstone was devoted to God and his call for his life. This was to the extent of even laying down his life for Christ. Serving God was not a chore for Livingstone, but a privilege he had with the King of all kings. And this privilege of serving God led the gospel to being shared in major parts of Africa. The devotion of one man in serving God led to great things in the kingdom of God. So let us continue to appreciate the privilege of serving God, and this privilege can come when we devote ourselves, our time, our effort, our being to serving Him. Number seven, the seventh blessing of being devoted to God is that we will receive God's honor. We will receive God's honor. See, interestingly, Jesus chose Mary Magdalene as the first witness of his resurrection, not his other 11 disciples, not anybody else who was then probably seen to be devoted and great disciples of Jesus, but Jesus chose Mary Magdalene as the first witness of his resurrection. I believe that that was an honor given to her partly or greatly because of her devotion to the Lord. In fact, today we saw various scriptures mentioning Mary Magdalene specifically. We don't preach enough on Mary Magdalene, but you see there were many mentions of Mary Magdalene as a character, and he was all painting Mary Magdalene as a picture of devotion to the Lord. And because of the devotion to the Lord, she received the honor of being the first one to witness the resurrection of Christ. David, King David, was also given the honor of being a man after God's own heart, because of his devotion to the Lord. The Apostle Peter was given the honor as the rock upon which the church will be built because of his devotion and love for the Lord. You know, Peter, despite denying Jesus three times, Peter was another picture of love and devotion to the Lord Jesus. And that devotion draws the honor of the Lord. Of course, we do not devote ourselves to God just because we want to seek the honor of God. But as disciples of Jesus Christ, there is no greater honor than to receive the approval of the Lord. And when we devote ourselves to Him, we shall receive the ultimate honor of meeting Him face to face one day and given the honor of being a great and good and faithful servant. Hence, these are the seven blessings that we will receive when we devote ourselves to the Lord. Let me move on to my last point. Don't worry, it's a very, very short point, you know, and so definitely we're all in good time, right? But, you know, I can't complete this teaching on the devotion to God without bringing to your attention the ultimate example of devotion to God, and that is Jesus Himself. You know, while we studied the devotion of Mary Magdalene today, the one whom Mary was devoted to is actually the ultimate example of devotion. That is, of course, our Christ, our Lord. See, the passage we studied today spoke of Jesus' crucifixion and resurrection. It spoke about how His sacrifice and resurrection led to the greatest news of all, which is the saving grace of Christ. But this news, this greatest news of all, started with Jesus' obedience to the will of the Father. He was committed to the will of the Father. In closing, as I invite the worship team to come and prepare, also allow me to read the words of Jesus at the Garden of Gethsemane that demonstrated his devotion and obedience to the Father. In Matthew 26, verse 42, in the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus said, "My Father, if it is not possible for this cup to be taken away unless I drink it, may your will be done." May your will be done. See, Jesus is our ultimate example of devotion to God. And because of Jesus' devotion to the Father and to the cause that he came to earth for, we have received the greatest gift of salvation. So may we, as God's disciple, also continue to grow in this beautiful value of devotion to God. In conclusion, you can put aside your notes and your iPad or your phones and just tune in. You know, today we have looked at the characters of Mary Magdalene and Mary from Bethany. You know, they are not common characters that we look at and preach on. But today we can see how their devotion to the Lord has set an example for us as disciples of Jesus. But there are some tough questions that we need to answer ourselves. Maybe today, ask ourselves some of these tough questions. How are we in our journey with the Lord? How are we devoted followers like Mary? Or are we fair-weathered followers? Are we devoted followers even when the going is tough, or only when life is full of blessings? Are we devoted to following Christ even when his promises do not seem to be fulfilled? Or do we trust him even though we have not seen the hand of God move yet? Do we fit God into our lives only when it is convenient? Or have we devoted our lives to knowing him, loving him, and following him? Do we spend time with the Lord and devote ourselves to serving him? Or are we just happy to be a Sunday Christian? I would like to challenge us to do an honest check of our hearts today. Do the check. Where are we with God? You know, in our busy Singaporean context, it is indeed even more challenging. But if we need to reevaluate our priorities today, we should do so. Now, there are many blessings that follow our devotion to the Lord, but devotion to the Lord is itself the greatest blessing. Now, today I'm not encouraging you to devote yourself to God just to receive the blessings that I spoke about. Instead, let us take heed the word of Jesus to choose the better part, like Mary did at the feet of Jesus. Choose to devote ourselves to God. And when we do so, we will experience the great blessing of an intimate relationship with our God and King. So may the Lord challenge us to draw close to him. And at this juncture, I think we're in good time. Feel that, you know, this is a sermon that I'm not going to give an altar call for you to come to the altar area and respond, but I feel there must be that space for us to personally respond to God. So even right now, I just invite you maybe to close your eyes and bow your heads and ask yourself some of those questions that I've asked earlier. And let us be honest with God. Where are we? Where are you? In your relationship with God. Do you appreciate enough that the freedom you can have in coming before God? Do you appreciate enough the privilege that you can come into the intimate relationship with God? Or have we taken for granted this privilege that we have as disciples of Jesus Christ? I'm going to go at the end and just ask you to just allow the Holy Spirit to speak. And you respond to God. With our heads still bowed and our every eyes closed. If you know God is speaking to you today about your own devotion to the Lord, maybe some of us know that, you know, it is time to return to that first love if we need to. Maybe some of us know that, you know, we love God, but we can do better. And with every eyes closed and our heads bowed, I just invite you, if you want to respond to God, just put your hand on your heart. And now, let me pray for you. It's your response to the Lord, and nobody else is watching except me. And just place your hand on your heart as a response to God. And say, God, let me love you more, Lord. Father God, we want to thank you for your love for each one of us. Thank you that God, in fact, you came to us and gave a life for us when we are still sinners and not even receiving you with the same love. Father, indeed, so often, that Lord, you are so desirous of the heart of your people towards you. But we know some of our hearts might be lukewarm, or we can do better. Father, you see those hands and hearts responding to you. Lord, we know that it is not easy competing against, Father, the many priorities here we have on earth. But Lord, turn our eyes again towards you. Turn our gaze towards you again, God. Teach us, Father, to devote ourselves more to you. Because, Lord, we are your greatest love. And Lord, help us grow to make you too our greatest love, Lord. For we pray all this in the Lord's most precious name, and let all God's people say, Amen.